welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
Fellowship with God is any positive personal interaction with God. But now let's drill down a little bit further, because fellowship with God has a little bit different form with each member of the Trinity. Our interactions with the Father, God the Father, have mainly to do with His love. And our interactions with God the Son have mainly to do with His grace. And our interactions with the Holy Spirit are where we receive the benefits of God's love and the Son's grace. So, that's all summed up, I believe, very well in 2 Corinthians 13:14. I believe 2 Corinthians 13:14 is a summary of how we interact with each member of the Trinity. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, I believe that's a good summary. And in case you're not familiar with the doctrine of the Trinity, let me just fill you in a little bit. I'll give you a quick explanation, because the Trinity is a very easy doctrine. It is. I think a five-year-old can understand the Trinity, and here's the Trinity right here. The Trinity, the word Trinity, it's not a biblical word, it's just a shorthand that we use to describe five doctrines. Number one, the Father is God. Number two, the Son is God. Number three, the Holy Spirit is God. Number four, all three of them are distinct persons. They're distinct. They talk to each other. They love each other. They go back and forth. They're distinct persons. They're not the same person. And number five, there's only one God. Just one. Now, none of that is hard to understand. None of those is hard to understand. A child can do this. My kids, every one of them, when they were little kids, I would ask them, is Jesus God? Yes. The Father God? Yes. Spirit God? Yes. Do they love each other? Yes. How many gods are there? One. They got it. You see, none of those are hard. The only thing that's hard to understand is how they fit together. Which is something that we couldn't possibly comprehend. We never will be able to comprehend that, because there's nothing else in existence, nothing else in the creation that we can compare it to. That's why we can't comprehend it. But we can understand each of the five doctrines. We can understand all that Scripture says about each of the five doctrines. God doesn't require us to understand how they fit together, so we're safe. Okay? We can understand everything God wants us to understand about the Trinity. That's the Trinity. And one other thing I want to emphasize about the Trinity. When you are having an interaction with one member of the Trinity, you are not interacting with one-third of God. You are interacting with the entire Godhead. See, this is where all the illustrations... People try to illustrate the Trinity with things in the creation. It never works. And this is one reason why it never works. Because if you're interacting with just Jesus, you are interacting with the entire Godhead. If you honor just the Holy Spirit, you have honored the entire Godhead. Any act of adoration of any member is an act of adoration for the entire Trinity, because the thing that you're adoring is the same in the whole Trinity. It's common to all three members. So if you pray to one, you're addressing the whole Trinity. But each of the persons of the Trinity deals with us in a little bit different way. Fellowship with each one is a little different. And what I'd like to do is, the rest of this series is going to be a study of how that looks for each one of them. So we'll start with the Father. How do we have fellowship with the Father? Fellowship is when, remember, God does something toward us and we respond and there's an interaction. How does that look mainly with the Father? The primary thing, as I said before, with the Father dealing with us is love. That's the main thing Scripture emphasizes when it talks about the Father specifically. Love. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His love for us. Romans 8:39, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. John 14:23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, my Father will love him. Ephesians 2:4, because of His great love for us, God made us alive. Titus 3:4, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. 1 John 4:8, God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Since God so loved us, we have to also love one another. We know that we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. And that's just a sampling. There's just so many passages that emphasize the Father's love. It speaks of that constantly. I mean, can you think of anything in the whole creation that has a loving, tender nature that God hasn't compared Himself to at some point? I mean, everything that's loving in this world exists so that God can teach us what His love is like. A father, a mother, a husband, a shepherd, even animals caring for their young. All those are used as illustrations. When God revealed Himself to Moses in that grand and amazing way in Exodus 34, of all the millions of things that He could have said about Himself, to describe Himself, this is what He said. Here's the summary. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. That's the description that God wanted to give when He revealed Himself to Moses, and that description is repeated over and over and over all the way through the Old Testament. When I went through the book of Psalms in my verse-by-verse study, I just went through every verse of the Psalm looking for every attribute of God I could find in the whole book of the Psalms. And when I did that, I came up with a list of 378 attributes. No doubt I missed many, but that came up with 378. And almost every one of them, some of those are categories because it got to be too long, so I grouped them in categories. Anyway, almost every one of those would fit under the general category of God's love. I mean, everything you see in the Psalm, God as refuge, God as Savior, God as Redeemer, God, the one who grants justice, the one who gives light, the one who reveals Himself, the one who guides His people, they're all expressions of His love. It's extremely important to God that we understand and delight in His love for us, because His enjoyment, our enjoyment of His love, is the main way that God has provided for us to glorify Him. He's given us a number of ways that we can honor and glorify and magnify and worship, but the main way, the best way that He's given us to really honor Him is by enjoying His love. And so it's super important that we understand His love and appreciate it. I mean, do you want to honor God? Do you want to show the world the greatness of God? Do you desire to do that? Do you want to be the tool that God uses to publish His goodness to this whole world? Do you desire that? There's no more effective way to accomplish that than to delight in God's love. So, John Piper's motto is really true. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is exalted and honored and glorified and magnified when we praise Him, but praise is not praise. It's not genuine praise unless it rises up out of delight and joy. That's what praise is, an expression of delight and joy. If there's no delight and joy, it's not praise. You regard God as a hard master, like the wicked, lazy slave in Matthew 25? Or if you see serving Him as burdensome, like the priests in Malachi 1, that dishonors Him. Last week I told you about that devotional book, What's So Great About God? That book, the whole point of it is designed to help you understand and appreciate and enjoy and experience 84 of God's attributes. And so if that book achieves its purpose, and it enables you to actually experience those 84 attributes of God, every one of them would be an experience of His love. Every one of them. I can't think of any satisfying experience of any attribute of God that isn't an experience of His love. So really, all fellowship with God fits inside this one category. You honor God by enjoying fellowship with Him. You enjoy fellowship with Him by delighting in all the various aspects and expressions of His love, and then responding with joy and gratitude and expressions of your own love back to Him. Okay? And this is where enjoyment of earthly pleasures comes in. Earthly pleasures are designed to be an expression of the proof of God's love. That's why they exist. Acts 14:17, God has not left Himself without a testimony. He has shown His kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. That's the testimony of God's kindness. The supply of food and provisions and ability to enjoy those things, all that, that's a gesture of God's love. To prove it, Ephesians 1:23 refers to God as the one who fills everything in every way. Everything in this world has a certain amount of fullness. Fullness meaning that which can supply you with what you need, that which can supply you with joy and enjoyment. Everything has a certain amount of fullness. All the fullness of everything in this world came from God. He's the one who fills all things in every way. So when you're enjoying a banana split, and it makes you happy, and you think that the happiness is coming from the banana split, you're wrong. It's not. Because if ice cream were the source of joy, then it would always work. It would always make you happy. 100% of the time it would work. It doesn't. It doesn't. No earthly pleasure does. But a dessert, a really good dessert, makes you feel happy if it does. And it makes you feel a sense of satisfaction. And you realize at that moment that you're in the presence of God who makes things taste good and fills your heart with joy. Then at that moment, when you realize that, you find yourself loving it, loving the fact that God is like that, and loving the fact that He's right there next to you at that moment, in the room, literally. And you love the fact that He won't ever stop giving you good things. He won't ever stop giving you good things. And you take delight in that, you are having communion with God, fellowship with God.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspective might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.